Harbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody, to Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk, which is part of the Big Banter Network. Mike.
And I'm John.
And tonight's date is Thursday, April 11th, 2024. And got a big show for you, everybody, tonight. It should be pretty fun. As we got, we'll be talking about running back room as we got a new coach and we got a player leaving. Talk a little bit spring game as the spring game is coming up on Saturday. And then we will, as we started on our last show, where you're doing the basically in the last 30 years, best non-champion Ohio State team. So we will be doing our quarterfinals for that. So first up, so Buckeyes finally hired a new running backs coach, Carlos Lachlan from Oregon. You know, seems like pretty young guy, not a ton of experience, but you know, from, you know, just reading through different things and listening to some of the different media availabilities he's had at Oregon and recently at Ohio State. I like the hire. I think he's a good young coach. I think he's going to expect a lot from that room. And, you know, so I'm really happy to see, I think the intensity and competitiveness he's going to bring. We've kind of talked about how it just seemed like the room was getting a little stale with Alford over the last several years. And I definitely think he Carlos is going to be kind of a, you know, a good coach, the kind of maybe just kind of bring that juice back in that room a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that. You needed a change up. So he kind of reminds me of some of the stuff he said. He just kind of reminds me of a Tony Alford. So, I mean, and Tony wasn't a bad guy. There's nothing wrong with him. He had some, misses in the recruiting trail that hurt them ultimately just because, you know, he put a lot of his eggs into one basket a couple years in a row. And, you know, he missed out on almost everybody. So, that's not to say he didn't have his wins on the recruiting trail too, but you know, it is what it is. But no, I really liked what the guy brought to the table or is bringing to the table. He didn't bore in, you know, everybody in that introductory conference with what he's doing and all that. I mean, he just told you who he was. He's a, you know, players coach first and foremost. And I think it was cool to hear, and it's something that's going to resonate with the players. And I think he's going to do a great job. So, I mean, I hope so, but it's not like Ohio State hasn't had great running backs regardless, whoever the coach was. So I think we're going to be fine.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the one thing I did take, and again, this is not from having, you know, any experience with the guy at all. It's just kind of just from what I took from listening to some of his comments the other day, is that we both have really liked Tony about just how cerebral he came off and stuff like that. And I think Coach Lachlan, I got some similar vibes on that. Like kind of like what you said, it did kind of feel like Tony in a little bit, but I think maybe where it's weird to say it, 'cause I don't want to think like Tony doesn't have that. This guy just feels like maybe just has a different type of energy. Like you were talking about, I think he does come off a little bit like he is a player's coach. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to win some when you put that with Ohio State. That's going to win some in some of these living rooms. And so I like that. I like maybe where it's heading. You know, obviously we'll see. You know, I think, you know, a lot is going to determine, just like we've said with all these coaches, you know, a lot gets determined once how they look like on the field this year. So if the running game, and you know, a lot of that falls on Chip and a lot of that falls on Fry too. You know, if the running game kind of looks like what we remember of Ohio State past kind of looking like, then, you know, I think he's going to do fine. I think he has the right, you know, the right juice in him,
right,
you know, to go get good players. You know, now they just need, I think they just need to prove it first. And then I think everything kind of falls into place.
Yeah. He even said he's not a recruiter. He's a relationship builder, which I mean, that's the perfect way to look at it. That's why, you know, if you're a kid, you're a parent of a kid, that's what you want to hear. So it's definitely, I think he'll do fine. I think he's going to be a pretty dynamic recruiter. But like you said, it's all really going to depend on what they do on the field. And with Chip Kelly running the show, I mean, it should be good there. Yep. That is something he excels at, is, you know, his running schemes. And hopefully Fry is just, you know, his offensive line's up for the challenge to help take us to the next level running the ball.
Yeah. All right. So that's basically it on Coach Lachlan. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to necessarily brush him aside. I just, you know, want to spend a little bit more time on our next story, which is
it's a little too new and he's still a young new coach. Yeah. So it's really hard to dive too much into it till we see a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately for him, as much as, you know, the how good and top heavy this running back room looks, you know, with the injuries you think about over the last couple of years, you know, them losing Dallin Hayden now to the transfer portal, which, you know, happened, was announced this week, you know, does put a little bit of a wrench into the whole operation. I mean, the whole Hayden situation has been one of the weirdest situations that I can remember in a couple of years. Like, it's like, so you think about guys like CJ Hicks, and there's fan expectations, which are just like, you know, CJ needs to play. And then you kind of see CJ on the field and you're like, okay, I can kind of understand why he's not playing. Like, yeah. You know, even though he's definitely got the skill set, he's got the athleticism and all that stuff, but you can see that he's just a little slow in the mental preparation of everything. That it's not hitting. Not saying it won't eventually hit. It's just not there. Mm-hmm. So usually you get kind of that stuff. And I think a lot of times when fans really get upset with the coaching staff, when you kind of see the guys, normally I'm kind of in the, you know, kind of, you know, you, when you kind of take a step back and look at things and be like, okay, I kind of understand where the coaches are coming from. Cause I just don't think this player is ready yet after just kind of seeing him play. I did not get that feel with Dallin Hayden. Like, you know, And I get it. His pass blocking skills are not where necessarily I think they needed to be, but I think some of that stuff comes with experience. Mm-hmm. Every time he was on the field, though, it seemed like that he ran the ball fine and he gave them extra boosts in the running game, you know, where they desperately needed it over the last 2 years. And there was different situations where, you know, is this the Lions' fault? Is this the running back's fault? Is this the coaching, the play scheme fault? And it didn't matter. It always seemed like he did fine when he was in there. And, you know, and it just seemed like, you know, I think they really missed an opportunity with him. And, you know, and obviously we'll see where he ends up going and best of luck to him. But I think he could have been a playmaker. And it can really, I mean, we've talked about this on the show and, you know, me and you privately, that I think that, you know, this past year, like I never understood why it was, you know, Chip, Mayan and Trey were the three, when I felt that basically Chip and Mayan, that, you know, that's your bruiser, you know, you pick one of them to be your bruiser. And I felt Chip was the better of the two, that he had more athleticism.
Right. He could do more with it.
And, you know, then you have Trey. And Dallin should have been. I just think Dallin should have been that guy in the Mayan role. And like, and I because I think he's arguably, he might have been the best all around back on the team. And, you know, they kind of, I don't know. Like I said, I hope it doesn't come back to bite us in the butt. You know, injuries have been an issue in that room over the last couple of years, but it just, I'm kind of like torn, like how big of an issue this is that they ended up losing him. And we said that there was a possibility he could lose him. He was always on our list of a guy that, you know, could end up leaving because it just seems like he was not getting his chance here.
One, I mean, this 100% makes sense that he's leaving. So no ill will towards the kid whatsoever. He stayed because, you know, he redshirted because he was under the assumption Trey Henderson's going to the league. Possibly you're competing with Chip and Mayan at that point. He's the most dynamic running back, probably out of three. I think a little bit more so than Chip. So he probably gets the nod as RB1, even though Chip's a better pass blocker. So that's where his head's at, right? Trey comes back. Chip and Mayan decide to go. Judkin comes in. And then at that point, it's kind of like, I'm not going to get to see the field again. It's going to be just mop up duty. And I think they are going to go deeper into that running back room this year, but still not enough for him to actually showcase that he's an NFL ready running back. So definitely no issue with it. I mean, you and I agreed that just redshirting him last year was the height of stupidity. I mean, in the transfer portal era, you're not hanging around 5 years. And if you're a fifth year running back at Ohio State, I mean, no offense, but I don't know if I want to see the guy in his fifth year. You know, you've probably over recruited him at that point, which I mean, maybe what he's seen in practice and, you know, it's came out now that this is his decision. Maybe Peoples is ahead of him. You know, maybe the true freshman is doing good. Like don't sneeze at TC Caffey. He's a preferred walk on, but I mean, that kid was the real deal at Hubbard. He could have probably went to any MAC school that he wanted to. He just wanted to walk on at Ohio State. He had something like 37 touchdowns or something his senior year. I think he averaged 8 yards a carry. Like, yeah. He's a hell of a running back. And we saw it. I mean, even as a true freshman preferred walk on, he had a big touchdown against who they beat the hell out of 2 years ago. Was it Toledo?
Yeah.
Yeah. He came in, he had a big touchdown in that game. So I don't know. I mean, I think the writing was on the wall. I do think they should have utilized Dallin more. Like you said, he ran well anytime that they gave him the ball. I mean, certainly you can't blame 22 Michigan on him. They didn't even hand him what he get, 2 touches. Yeah. You can't blame Georgia on him. I mean, the guy did fine most of the time, but again, he had limited touches. And yeah, I mean, at the very end of the game, he gets stuffed, but it is what it is at that point, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think
he'll be good wherever he goes. He'll be good.
Yeah, no, I think on him, like, yeah, the redshirting of the fifth year, the redshirting thing. Now in the era, yeah, it's just weird in the transfer portal, but in the era of NIL and stuff like that, I can kind of get where, I mean, we're obviously seeing fifth year players are coming back and, you know, Michigan had a bunch of fifth year players come back. So it's not like it's not unheard of, but I just think, kind of the mindset in some of these kids, you know, minds, like, I think somebody like him, I think he realizes that, like, you know, I'm a good player and I could go make an NFL roster. And with, you know, kind of the running backs as they are, you know, they just have limited time frame on their bodies compared to some other position groups. So he's probably like just thinking like, you know, even though he's not playing, he's still taking a lot of hits because, you know, he's doing a lot in practice and all that stuff. And he's probably to the point like, you know, I want to go to the league. I kind of maybe want to see where I'm at after next year to if I can test those waters right now or not. And, you know, I'm just not going to get it here, you know, at Ohio State. I mean, he was going to get opportunities this year. I mean, it's obvious over the last several years, they are going to go 3 deep. You know, I mean, they've kind of proven that point and they know they have to with the expanded playoffs now, but it's just, I think he probably realizes, and I don't disagree with him. There is a lot of schools in the Power Five that he could probably start for. And like, you know, and yeah, like,
I think so.
That's legit. And there's probably almost every school in the group of five that he definitely would start for. So like, you know, like, I mean, you think about in the Big Ten, I mean, probably what? 2/3, and that might be favorable of the conference that he's probably better than the starting running back. So like, you know, it might be a little bit more than that. So
I don't know who's all starting all the Pac-12 school or the Pac-12 schools coming in. Cause I don't know if Washington's back. I know the kid from Oregon is, so he's definitely starting, but yeah, probably doesn't start over Donovan Edwards. Right. But who knows? I mean, Edwards struggled last year. I know he found his, you know, he found his groove in the championship game, but he didn't have a great year. So I don't know. Maybe Dallin does get a start over him at Michigan. So yeah, you're probably looking at Ohio State and Penn State. He doesn't start at, but even then, I don't know, those Penn State running backs, Nicholas Singleton. I mean, to me, that he's another one that, you know, you got to kind of prove it to me. Like that guy gets all this, like, oh, you know, he's the best back. He's actually the best back in the country for this going on his third year. It's like, I don't know. Watched Ohio State play him twice. I haven't been that impressed either time.
Yeah. No, I definitely, yeah, I see that. So, yeah, I think it'll be a positive move for him. I hope he doesn't follow his old football coach and had to the north. But
I felt like Alford was a little bit of who was holding him back, though, right? Like,
we all think that. I mean, we all think that. But if he ends up going there, then it's
like, then that tells you a different story. Then we know the truth.
Yeah, it's like, there's, because there's been kind of a debate going on Twitter over the last several days since it happened. You know, was it Day holding him back, or was it Alford holding him back? So, like, everything I've heard, it's on Alford, just because, I mean, we've talked about this before, you know, in this level of college football, you know, the position coaches have pretty much the say of who play, who's ready and who's not ready to play. So, you know, it feels like it is Alford, and the way Day kind of sounded towards some of his press conferences, it seemed like that, you know, like he was kind of getting frustrated that he wasn't playing, which, you know, I mean, if that was the case, I would hope you'd like put your foot down and be like, hey, you know, you're playing him. Like, yeah, at the end of the day, I'm still the head coach, but like, you know, but, you know, so I don't know. Like, it just seems like, you know, I don't think he will go to Michigan, but if he decides to go to Michigan, I think then that would answer that question of, you know, where he thought who was holding him back and who wasn't. So,
and I mean, let's be realistic with Kyle McCord, who, you know, killed a lot of balls and got intentional groundings. Like, you need to have a guy that can block for him back there. So probably wasn't a good fit for Hayden that past year.
Yeah, no, definitely. All right. So spring games coming up on Saturday. Just quickly, let me pull this up real fast. Just wanted to go over kind of the how they're setting up the rules and stuff. I have it all right here. Blah, blah, blah. Let me just get it. I did have it. Oh, here, okay, here it is. So kickoff is going to be on 12:05. It's on Fox. Jason Benetti, Urban Meyer, and Brady Quinn are going to actually be in the booth calling, and Joel Klatt and Jenny Taft are going to be on the sidelines. First three quarters will be 12 to 15 minutes with stoppages. Fourth quarter will be 10 minutes with a running clock. Format is offense versus defense. It's traditional scoring for the offense, defense, and score via touchdown, 6 points, takeaways, 3 points, three and outs are 3 points, sack is 2 points, forced punt is 1 point. So that's how they will set it up. So it'll be offense versus defense. Kind of what's like, you know, what are you looking forward to seeing this? You know, some of these things can be, you know, spring games are always interesting because, you know, it gets everybody excited. Obviously, Buckeye fans, you know, it's kind of feels like it's the unofficial start of the season, and gets everybody kind of talking. But, you know, for as like guaranteed as a lot of things seems like this at Ohio State, there's still there's some big question marks still on it when you think about quarterback, offensive line, kind of back kind of where we're at from last year. So, you know, just where's your head at right now heading into this game?
I got to see who's better with Jeremiah Smith, whether it be Will Howard or Julian Sain. I got to see Jeremiah Smith then connect with one of those guys for a touchdown or two and get the hell off the field, because he does not need to play any more than that, even as a true freshman. Sorry to say it. No, I mean, what we need Jaden Ballard to at least show that he could be a spring game superstar, right? Like, the guy's got, he's got to do something. You know, the line's all coming back. And I know outside of Matt Jones, so you do have a hole there that you're trying to figure out. But you got another like three pieces there. I mean, Hinsman, I know, is not going to be your starter, probably. At least right now it's McLaughlin, but you gotta be able to block the defense a little bit, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm a little worried that the defensive line is just going to eat the offensive line, kind of like what we saw last year, and, you know, not be too thrilled with that, but we'll see. But no, I got to see the offensive line at least put up a fight against our defensive line. I don't know. I mean, I'm interested to see the quarterback competition, but that's a lot of mouths to feed in that room. And I don't know how you juggle it all, especially like we're hearing a lot of stuff that Julian Sain's looking, you know,
he's in the mix, supposedly. That's what Ryan Day said. He's in the mix. Like, you know, I mean,
I think Will Howard, I don't know, because I think Devin Brown might throw a better ball than Will Howard does. You know, it's just, I think Julian saying is like kind of what you, I mean, obviously he's the best quarterback in the country or top three, right? That came in this year.
He was number one. So
well, I know that kid from that went to Florida, I think Legway. He's a stud. Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, I think he was number one on most boards saying, but I mean, there might be a couple that where he wasn't, but I mean, he's pretty much was but the number one.
Your top two, top three for sure. So he's a little undersized compared to the rest of the guys though. I don't know if you want him going from game one, but I mean, if he's your best shot, you got to win a title, right? Like I know Trevor Lawrence was, you know, 6'6" and
yeah,
he was a little bit more physically, you know, built for the hits right now as a true freshman. But I don't know. I mean, you got to get your best guy out there. So if that's it, you got to roll with him. But I don't know.
I think it's
who makes Chip Kelly's. I want to see who makes Chip Kelly's offense look the best. But still, it's going to be new for these guys. So it's not going to look that pretty. The defense is going to be ahead of them. We know this. I mean, yeah. I'm expecting the defense might be able to win unless the, you know, receivers do their thing.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing Ryan Day does, I mean, we talked about this when they brought Julian Sand in. So, and this was a lot of people talk about. This is kind of like a Ryan Day really kind of needs to. And this is weird to say, and I know there's going to be Buckeye fans that are going to freak out when I say this. Like, he kind of needs to thread this needle pretty carefully with that stuff. If Julian Sand comes out, it looks like just unbelievably great. That scares me about all the guys above him. And, you know, for a lot of reasons. And not saying that, you know, if Julian Sand came out and is definitely the best player on this team, like best quarterback on this team, like I would be 100% okay with him starting game one.
But you don't want your two scholarship quarterbacks to be two true freshmen.
Yeah. And I think they could lose the whole room. And I know there's people rolling their eyes and stuff like that, but when you are competing for a national title, that quarterback depth is going to matter. Like, you know, and like, so I'm not saying that, you know, don't give Julian Sand any opportunities on Saturday. I think he needs to play. If the kid lost his black stripe and it's looking really good, he deserves it. If he's putting in the work and he's looking good in spring practice, he deserves the play. Like I will say that right now. I think Ryan Day needs to be a little careful where, you know, if he decides that he's going to, you know, if he decides he's going to put him in earlier in the game when he's got a lot of the elite wide receivers still out there, then, you know, it could cause some sort of controversy. And that if he looks like he's heading, and we know what the fan base is like, and if he looks great, there's going to be a bunch of just chattering everywhere. And, you know, noise, I mean, we know noise gets into the woody. Like it's not like the players don't hear it. It's not like the coaches don't hear it. It's pretty apparent that they do hear everything that, you know, the fan base does say, you know, regardless that if you say that they're not trying to listen, they do hear it. So, again, I'm not saying don't give him an opportunity. I'm not saying that, you know, I would even be against if he was the best quarterback on the field that and if he ends up proving himself between spring and fall camp and he ends up being the dude, then let him be the dude. I'm okay with it. Like that's, you know, 3 years of us not having to worry about a quarterback. I mean, you might lose, you're going to have a hard time recruiting, but you know, like, you know, but you could, especially if the NCAA does come back and decide that anybody can transfer whenever they want, which seems like that's what they're going to do. You know, you could lose all three of the guys in front of them.
Yeah. It's very real possibilities. All right. Lightning round. So we've talked about O-line. Well, I talked about both. What do you want to see O-line?
I think that it sounds like Dave's pretty happy with way Fryer and Simmons are looking. He said Simmons needed to get a little bit better mentally. Fryer needed to get a little bit better physically. He kind of likes where they're both at. And they've been, I want to see how that guard position looks. It seems like between the two centers and Montgomery and Tegra, that's where they're at right now with that guard position. So I want to see just who looks the best. And, you know, let's kind of roll with that as our starting five.
I want to give Fryer some snaps against Kenyatta Jackson. I want to see if he's actually improved athletically. So
I agree with that. Like, let's see what he looks like.
Okay. Where are you at running backs? What do you want to see? Trey and Judkins not even see the field.
Like, I wanted to see a lot of Dallin, yeah. And, you know, so I'm okay with seeing the freshmen. You know, let's get Trey and Judkins just to get the crowd all ooh and ah, and, you know, maybe a couple runs early in the game, maybe some fancy stuff with some things that Chip's thinking about doing. And then let's get them both off the field. No point in doing anything that damage either one of them.
Receivers and tight ends.
I'm more interested, I think, right now, the tight ends where the depth is. I want to see what Thurman looks like. I want to see what Kazmarek or whatever you pronounce his last name looks like. The receivers, you know who you're starting for basically are. I mean, I'm sorry, nothing against Jaden Ballard, but we know who the top four are.
I want to see if there's more depth than the South Florida Express plus a Mecca.
Yeah. You know, I want to see what Ballard looks like. I want to see where maybe some of the other kids look like. But, you know, yeah, kind of what you said earlier, you know, I don't need to see anybody above Jeremiah Smith. I won't lie on that one. I'm pretty confident what Innes is. I saw Tate with my own eyes. We've all know what Omeka is, you know, and, you know, I'm okay with Smith getting a couple passes his way and then being done with that. Yeah. Like, you know, bigger fish to fry this year.
Absolutely. So that's offense, defensive line.
I
want to see I want to see them dominate the offensive line, because I think they should be able to.
I want to see
that too. It scares me. If they do.
It scares me, and then it will scare me in the opposite if the offensive line actually looks good. And, like, you know, I mean, sometimes we forget that these guys have been going against each other for the last 4 weeks. So it's like, you know, maybe the offensive line actually will look good against them, and then I'll be like, oh, great. It's going to be the defensive line is not where they should be. But, you know, so I don't know about the defensive line. I don't expect them to do a lot of stuff. I don't expect them to play, you know, JT or Jack, you know. I don't need to see those guys.
Linebackers.
I get it. We don't do a lot of blitzes in spring games, but I want to see some stuff. I want to see Sonny's and Hicks's athleticism and how maybe James is kind of thinking about using them this year.
I'm kind of the opposite. I mean, I do want to see their athleticism. Don't get me wrong, because I think that's something to get excited about. It could definitely give people hope for the position and everything, but I want to see situationally just where they are in space, like how that athleticism, you know, are they in the right spot to begin with? And they're not just relying on their athleticism. Like, no. Has the game slowed down for them? Real quick tangent sidebar. Did they mess up with Sonny Styles moving him now? Shouldn't they have been able to identify his body size from day one, and he should have been working as a linebacker?
I think he should have been moved last year.
Like, if he's behind everyone else third year and he doesn't get to start again this year because it's a new position for him, isn't that a failure on Ohio State?
It is. They should have moved him last year. Now, I don't think he's going to be. I think he is going to end up being the starter, because I think they're pretty. They want the best 11 on the field, and I think he's one of the best 11. So I think that even if they have to blitz him every play and not put him in coverage, like, I think that he's going to be out there.
Where I'm at, if him and Hicks are those guys, but you still need Simon as your solid, you know, run stopper that just knows the defense, knows how to call out the defense, they're going to figure out a way to get Hicks and Styles on the field at the same time. One's just going to be a blitzer all the time, you know. I that's what I think, but I still think they messed up, though. I do, but we'll see how it plays out.
I don't disagree with you. I think that they probably should have made the move sometime last year, because frankly, we've been hearing he's been having a hard time maintaining the weight they want him to maintain at, because his body wants to go more. So they should have made the move last year before the season. That way he could have started getting in his body ready for that type of position.
I mean, at 6'4", they should have been thinking about him as an edge rusher or linebacker from day one. You know,
we talked about it, that he could have been like the Jack, I don't know. I mean, kind of whatever this envisioning that, you know, Knowles has, like, I don't know.
He could do it.
Everything he's kind of saying, he seems like he could do it. Like,
yeah. No, that's so. Okay. Well, let's lump secondary together. What do you want to see out of them?
A lot of young kids. Like, again, this is the this is the base of this defense. They don't need to be doing a lot of stuff. Right. I know what the secondary is, and I'm fine. Like, I don't need to see a bunch of Caleb Downs to like make me think good about myself to see what he looks like. I watched Alabama enough last year that I know what Caleb Downs looks like. So let's, you know, do I want to see him? Yes. I want to see him. I want to see if he can make a play out there and stuff like that. But, you know, I want to see a lot of Jeremiah Matthews. I want to see a lot of the freshmen and, what's his face? The other sophomore. I can't think of his name right now. Calvin Simpson Hunt. Yeah, Simpson Hunt. I want to see a lot of those guys. I want to see kind of what Hartford looks like and a couple of the other backups, you know, on the safeties and stuff like that. I mean,
they called out that, Jalen McClain, is that his name?
Yeah, and it sounds like Bonzu's looking pretty good. So, you know, I want to see some of those guys. So.
Bonzu's, he's a beast, man. That's going to be someone that I don't know if they keep him out of. Like, he could actually do, oh, my God, why can't I think of the kid that he was a five-star? He's been hurt his entire time. He's still on the team.
Oh,
He's good when he actually is healthy. He can play. He did fine in the Rose Bowl, but I can't think of
his name. I can't think of his name right now either.
Oh my gosh, I'm disappointed in myself. But Bonzu's kind of like him. He's kind of like that tweener linebacker at safety, which is good for us to have. I mean, you need those types.
Now it's going to be killing me. What's his face's name? But yeah, no, I know exactly who you're talking about.
I'm going to have to look this up when we're. Yep. So, I mean, I don't know. I kind of think the defense is going to win, but I just want to, you know, like always, I don't expect any perfection. I don't want to see people freaking out if Jeremiah Smith has touchdowns over, you know, Jermaine Matthews or Iggy. Like, he's a friggin' freak of an athlete. Like, it is what it is. Yeah. So I don't know, but I do kind of expect the defense to look pretty good.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry, I'm got to look this up. This is going to drive me insane. Of course, my internet's going to be slow as hell. But so we're going on to our brackets again.
Yeah. So. All right. So let's do it. So do we want to do it in chronological or do we want to kind of, you know, mix it up a little bit?
Court Williams.
Court Williams.
Sorry.
I knew it was like,
I needed to figure it out.
I'm like, it's like, is a port, is a like I had it on the tip of my tongue, but I could have. It has been a while I've seen him out there, but you know, yeah, he was somebody that was really, you know, yeah, it is what it is. I mean, then, you know, the football gods for you. All right, so the Cooper bracket, we'll start with them. And then I guess we'll figure out next week, you know, how we'll actually split it up, you know, between the Cooper bracket, the Trestle bracket, Urban's bracket, and Day's bracket. All right. So Cooper, so we both picked that 96 beat 95, and 98 was the team that got the bye. So 98, 96, what do you think?
I'm going to say 98 wins a close game here. I think they are the more complete team. They had both offense and defense, whereas 96 was just mainly, you know, defensive powerhouse. It's going to be a very close game because that defense in 96 was that good, but secondary 98 is amazing. You still have Kat Samoyer. Of course, Joe Germain's, you know, doing his thing. Boston's still there in 98. Who's the other? D. Miller?
D. Miller.
Yeah. So they don't, Wiley and Montgomery are not slouches at running back. You know, offensive line, I don't know. I mean, you got Pace on the other side. Nothing really standing out to me in 98, so I apologize for this. Is LeCharles there yet? Is he starting?
I think he's there, but I don't remember if he's starting or not, if he doesn't start till 99.
It's a good game. I just think that 98 has way too many weapons that eventually they win it.
Yeah. I will say that I'm in the same boat as you. I was going 98. I think the offense is just more experienced at this point. You got Jermaine there. You got, you know, good running backs. I think the backs are better than Pepe and stuff like that.
But Pepe's good.
Pepe's good. I think the receivers are better at this point because they're older, come 98. So a a lot of those young guys in 96 are now old guys in 98 offensively.
Right.
You're still pretty loaded in the secondary and in the linebackers. The one thing I would say where this game could be different is you do got a much better defensive line from what I remember on the 96 team. You know, when you think about none of the guys from the 98 defensive line really stands out to me. I know there's some legitimate guys there. I just can't think of them right now. But I mean, you still have Vrabel, you saw Finkus, and you still have Fickell are on your 96 defensive line. And that defensive line's really, really good. And that offensive line for the 98 team was good. I mean, they never had any issues that whole year, but the 96 line's a little bit better because of, you know, you still have Orlando Pace, and that just, I don't know, just helped everybody out. And you had some other big, you know, maulers on that offensive line. So I am going slightly, you know, slightly on, I think the Ohio State 98 team is slightly better. You know, that 96 defense. Now the strength on strength is the 98 offense against the 96 defense. So maybe that runs it, that wears that kind of evens it out a little bit. I think that the 98 defense is probably better than the 96 offense because those guys were just so young still in the 96 team. So I think that probably that secondary for 98, Katzenmoyer and stuff like that, probably, even though the 96 defense is better than the 98 defense, I think the 98 defense against the 96 offense probably has an advantage. And the 98 offense against the 96 defense, it's probably enough of a wash, I think, either way, that I think that probably 98 wins.
Okay. So we agree. 98 moves on.
All right. Trestle bracket. So we both said 05 over 2010 and 06 made the national title game. So we gave them the bye. This one's a very interesting game to me. I mean, I think this actually might be the most interesting out of the whole bunch, you know. So what's your thought process going into it?
I have 05 winning. I think Santonio Holmes makes up for not having Beanie. You know, your offensive line's better in 05. You got Bobby coming off the edge, and we saw in that national title game that they struggled mightily against the tough defense that was blitzing. I mean, you have studs everywhere in your linebacker room. So that's, I think, you know, Ubodie's still there, Whitner's still there. So I'm not saying that Ginn's not getting by those guys and Troy's not throwing touchdowns, but I think you have a better secondary. You still have Jenkins there. You still got, but Mangold and Sims are still there, right, on your line. So, yeah, I mean, I just think overall they're a better team. And, I mean, it's probably the narrowest of margins because the other team made the national title game. But I've always said I think 05 wins the national championship had they just not made two bad plays that year, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe Ryan Hamby makes a mistake. So, you know? But, you know, that's my upset. I do think 2005 would win the game. It's not going to be a blowout, but I think, you know, I think they actually kind of can win it, you know. I don't think they need to score at the end to win it. I think they can have it in control in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I think that, you know, I've been kind of going back and forth just like thinking of this one because I like everything you said, I agree with, like, you know, and we've talked about that. Like, it's weird because, you know, you can make real arguments that 2005 is Jim Trestle's best team top to bottom. Like, that is a loaded team. And I know you think about, well, they had those two losses. Well, you know, Troy Smith's suspension hurt them early in that season. And the way we're looking at it here, this is them at their best. Now, the Troy Smith in 06 is still better than the Troy Smith.
Absolutely. No doubt.
Like, there's no argument about that. But the Troy Smith 05 had Ginn, Gonzo, and Holmes. And, you know, and not saying that Robiskie and Roy Hall Jr. aren't good wide receivers, because they are very good wide receivers. They're just not Santonio Holmes. I mean, the guy's won a Super Bowl MVP.
Right.
And Santonio Holmes is one of the best receivers. You know, you could argue, well, he doesn't necessarily have the stats. He was one of the best receivers that ever lined up at Ohio
State. No, I mean, a lot of them unfortunately don't have the stats because of just the evolution of Ohio State's offense.
Exactly. So I definitely say, you know, you have to really look at that. Now, the running back room in 06 is better because you got two studs back there, but Pittman, he was by himself, was a damn good running back. Right. And, you know, even though Beanie was a better running back than him, Antonio Pittman was just like, he was a dagger against a lot of teams in 05 because he was like the forgotten man on that offense, right? Because you're just worried so much about the three receivers and what Troy can do to you that it's like, oh, you completely forgot that there's a home run hitter in the backfield that is actually pretty mean and nasty too, running the ball. And, you know, like, and so you got that. The 06 defense was good. Nowhere near as good as the 05 defense. That 05 defense, you know, was special. I mean, that team is the only team that year, and you can check me. I don't necessarily think I remember it. Maybe not remember it correctly. There might be somebody else. I'm pretty sure I know they did, but I don't think anybody else held Vince Young that year below 40 points. Like, I think Texas scored 40 points or more in every game that season, except probably the game against Ohio State.
They probably did.
Like, I know the national championship game went over 40 points for both of them. That defense was, you know, just lights out good. And, you know, again, the Troy Smith suspension ended up hurting them, you know, because if Troy Smith, the way he looked at the end of the 04 season, if he would have been playing right from the beginning to start that season, there's no doubt in my mind that they win the national title. And there's no doubt in my mind that they go undefeated because they do beat Texas with the Troy Smith. That ends up finishing that season beats Texas with the team that they had. And, you know, in Columbus, they would have beat Texas. I mean, they were close enough to beating Texas to begin with. And, you know, the Troy Smith that they would have had that season would have beat Texas.
And
hell, Troy Smith might have ended up winning the Heisman. Like, you never know, like that year.
Just a fact check. Lowest score output outside of that Ohio State game where they scored 25 was 40 points against Texas A&M. They scored 41 against USC. They beat USC 41-38. Yeah.
Okay. So
that was those are the only two games that year that weren't two score wins, at least for Texas.
Yeah. And I thought that I was correct on that 40 point thing. I know I heard that somewhere and I was pretty sure of it, but yeah. So I think I'm going with you. I think that even though the 06 Troy Smith is damn good, and if that game is close and 06 Troy Smith gets the ball last, he could still very easily win that game.
Yeah.
But I think 05 top to bottom is still a slightly better team, which is crazy because the 06 team is a loss away from actually being the national champion.
Yeah. Agree. Yeah.
All right, Irvin. So we had a little disagreement here. I picked 12 over 18. You picked 18 over 12. 2015 is the team that they're going to go against. So I'll let you go first. 2018 versus 2015.
End of the year.
And as they are their best at what they are at their best.
I love Dwayne and I love what they did. 2015 would absolutely just smack the shit out of 2018 though. Zeke would have ran all over them. And I know that's really was the offense by the end of the year. 2015 was running with Zeke and JT, but that would have been enough. They would have torched 18. Look at their secondary, look at the athleticism of their linebackers. Yeah. I just don't think even with what Ryan Day did, you know, spreading stuff out, I just don't think it works. And I think 15 handles them pretty easily.
Yeah. I know this wasn't my pick, but just a couple points off of that. I agree with you.
Tough Moreland's not stopping Zeke up the middle.
Like, you know, that offensively 2015 did, you know,
they struggled mightily.
It's crazy. They leave a lot to desire, but just running the ball, you know, they were just so good. And that defense of 2015 would have, I just think it'd be enough to really shut down.
You still got Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
You still got Jalen Marshall. You know, you still got Wilson. I mean, you got role players all over the place. I know one of
You got better play calling in 18. So
yeah, absolutely. But Urban takes control at the end of the season. So it's a boring offense, but at least he knows how to call it effectively.
Yeah. I wish the only thing that really sucks about that year is, like, I think Urban Meyer could have made that decision that he makes earlier in the season, even though they're still winning. It's like, this sucks. And, you know I have JT Barrett, and I know I have Ezekiel Elliott, and I know how to call that offense. Yeah. So, like, Tim Beck, Ed Warner, you guys go over, sit in that corner over there. And, you know, I'm going to at least call my offense. And if we go down in the playoffs because, you know, Alabama or Clemson just can, you know, do things a little bit differently than I can do, you know, whatever, but we're going to go to the playoffs.
Right.
We're going to run my offense.
And I mean, it's not to, like, it's nothing against Thayer. Thayer's, you know, Thayer Mumford's good because he is the starting left tackle in 18, right? He wins that job. So, I mean, it's nothing against him, but, you know, Joey Bosa does better against Thayer Mumford than Nick Bosa does against Taylor Decker. I truly believe that. So, yeah, I think 15 all the way. Pretty easy.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. OK, so my 2015 against 2012, you know, I'm going with 2015 just because that team is just so loaded. I mean, it is, I think out of
it's all very the disappointing teams on, how they played that year on offense.
The one thing is just the thing, like, the two teams that always come to my head, that the what ifs, well, there's more than that. Cause you know, we're going to get to 19 here too, here in a minute, but, like, you know, but
19 was there, you know, they were in the playoffs. Like, they were a play, like, away from getting to the championship.
Like 15, it's just so good top to bottom. And just the Urban just screws that situation up so bad. And yes, it's his fault because he's that coach. Like, it's,
you can't say 19 was bad at all throughout the year. They just lost the game at the very end, you know, but Urban's offense sucked in 15. And yeah, it's so head scratching.
And I think he got caught up between his head and his heart. His head was telling him that, like, you know,
keep it in house.
You know, it's that, you know, I should have, you know, Cardell's coming back. You know, we designed this great offense at the end of the year, but Herman did that. And I don't think Beck and Warner really could do that. And, like,
no,
there was no, they didn't have, unfortunately, those two aren't smart enough to be able to create two different varying offenses. And Herman was like, I can run an offense if JT's the quarterback, and I can run an offense if Cardell Jones right. is the quarterback. And those two couldn't. So Urban Meyer really had to, from the beginning, like, whatever was the best fit for the team, he needed to go with. Mm-hmm. And he got caught between that, you know, Cardell just won him the national title, and I kind of talked him to coming back in back when I shouldn't have.
But JT runs, like, my offense better.
Yeah. And I should have, like, Urban Meyer really should have told Cardell, he should have had a heart to heart with him. Like, what you did here is historic. You know, I just, JT runs what I want to do a little bit better. Like, go cash in what you just did. I mean, Cardell Jones would have been a first round pick that year. That's what's crazy to think about, because those three games and his reputation probably was going to get him a second round at the worst.
Yeah.
But, like it's crazy to think about that. And I think he would have, like, there were teams talking about that they would take him as their top pick if he was there, just because he had the tools that he had. So I think Urban just really, really screwed that up. And that is going to give him, and that kind of gives those other two teams, your 18 and my 12, that kind of gives them a little bit of advantage in spots, because those were probably, I mean, 2015-18, I have some differences about, but 2012 was a pretty cohesive team, and they were really together in a lot of ways. And I think that's a close game, and that's kind of scary, because I think if 2015 doesn't get their heads out of their butt, that, you know, 2012 is actually a cohesive enough team that could beat them. And, but I think because 15's a little bit more talented, you know, definitely more talented, that I'll go with 15.
But nobody beat 12, you know. It's hard to say because no one was able to do it, but yeah,
Yeah. I mean,
and that was just a team. The thing about 12-2 is that was just a team that wanted to prove something, because like, and they deserve to play for the national title. Ohio State screwed that whole situation. Like, that was a team that, you know, like, after everything that happened with Tressel and how bad the 2011 season was, that was a team that wanted to prove themselves, that, you know, the whole thing that Urban was like, and I love Urban Meyer, but he was like portrayed as the savior to the football program. And like, Ohio State's cupboard was not bare. Like, he had a lot of good players on that team. They just needed a damn good head coach. And, you know, Jim Tressel was a damn good head coach, and Urban Meyer was a damn good head coach. And that situation just kind of screwed them up, that everybody was like, you know, oh, here comes Urban to save it. And be like, no, the players are there, man. They he didn't have an empty cupboard coming into that season.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're absolutely correct. It's a shame. Yeah, but I mean, they would have gotten into the, if they get into the national title game, though, I mean, what Eddie Lacy did to Notre Dame, I mean, Carlos Hyde and Braxton, there's just no chance.
They would have killed Notre Dame.
There's just no chance in that game.
All right, last one. 2019 was the team they got the bye. We both picked 2020 over 2022. So what do you think?
2019. I think that's actually pretty easy. I mean, I do like that, you know, Justin Fields is better in 2020. Probably you have a better receiving room. You know, those guys are still there at 19, but, you know, Olave is the star. And then you got, you know, Ben Victor, Austin Mack, but none of them are really, you know, anywhere close to Garrett Wilson at his best. And of course, you got JMO that takes the top off the ball. But I don't know, that team would have had a really hard time. I think 2020 would have had a hard time throwing against Okuda and Arnett, especially with Fuller back there.
Of course, and Wade in the middle.
Right. He would have, you know, it would have caused a lot of problems. Linebackers with Malik Harrison, you know, they're still better in 19, I think. Even though Browning kind of comes into his own a little bit in 20, you're better in 19. Of course, Chase Young is better than Jonathan Cooper, even though Coop's on both teams. So I don't even know. Chase Young's better than Tyreek Smith then, I guess, is what you would say. Much better. So, yeah, I don't think it's really that. And, of course, you know, it took Ohio State a long time to figure out how to run in 2020. And 2019 was good against the run. So I don't see, you know, I think Dobbins runs fine against the 2020 defense. I do. Mm-hmm. Line is Wash probably. Well, I mean, Wyatt, you got Jonah Jackson in 19. So they're probably better in 19 too, because a lot of the same pieces are there.
Yeah. The only thing I really think about this is that does Tuff Borland end up being on, well, you know, is he going against one of our wide receivers or 19? Like, somehow is you know,
Tuff Borland's a weakness on both of those teams.
Yeah.
Tuff.
He's more of a weakness on 820 just because, you know, what do you think about how he played in the national title? No, I agree with you again on that one. So this is going to be a clean sweep for us, that who we pick is our four. Not much more to add. I actually J.K. Dobbins, I mean, the 2020 team really didn't play. And I know they did okay against him, but, you know, and I know Najee likes to say that, you know, it was such a tough game for him, but I don't know, maybe I'm just wearing like weird glasses that I was like, thought Ohio State, when they look bad, they always look bad, but they look even worse than they really did. But, you know, I thought Najee had a good game against them, and they,
here's,
and I think JK would have a really good game against them.
Here's the thing, though, with Najee in that game, if Najee only had 2 yards to gain, he was getting 3. That's how that game went, for, you know? So he might have said, oh, they held me way under my average. You know, they were hitting my ass all day long. He was still winning the battles at the point of contact. And we saw that. That was very apparent. Like, he was delivering the blows, even if he wasn't getting a lot more after that. He was still winning most of the battles when they hit. And JK, I mean, I think he would have done. I think JK would have done fine against that 2020 defense. I really do. I mean, yeah. That guy was so shifty in 2019. And let's face it. I mean, 2020, just they were a mess in the back end, too. So if he broke that initial line of scrimmage, I mean, he's getting friggin' 10 yards a pop.
Yeah. I don't remember how, I mean, I don't remember how every game in 2020 goes. It just, it's comes to my,
we were really bad against the pass.
But Najee Harris was really the first running back they played the whole season. Like, I don't remember anybody in the Big Ten that really lined up. You know, usually in Big Ten play, you get to go against a legitimate running back somewhere.
And Etienne couldn't do that at Clemson.
Najee was the first legit running back they played the whole season. And I just think they lost that battle against him. And, you know, JK, I actually think JK is just as good, maybe a little slightly better. It's just, I think it kind of gets, kind of skewed right now because of the injury problems he's had in the NFL. But I mean, J.K. Dobbins is a damn good running back.
Well, J.K. did what like Blake Corum does, and he was better at it than Blake Corum. And that's not to take anything away from Blake. I think he's a hell of a college running back. But I mean, that was how he was. He would set up blocks. You would lose the guy behind the line of scrimmage, and then he would just do a cutback and just fucking torch you. Excuse my language. Yes. So
no, I definitely agree with that one.
Yep.
All right. Anything else you want to hit tonight, or are we going to call it a night?
No, I'm good. So we had all the same four teams winning, right?
So we'll figure out the formats, who's going to play who. We'll talk a little bit off air. We'll probably rank them 1 through 4.
Yeah.
Who we think is the best and who's the worst. And we'll have those two play each other. And then who's the second and who's the third.
That's tough.
Yeah, because there's some good teams in there.
Like 15 top to bottom is probably the best, but results throughout the year, they're probably the worst. You know, they're probably 4. Yeah. So yeah, it's gonna be an interesting conversation.
Yeah. So I think it'll be something to talk about. I think we're gonna try to do an episode at some point later Sunday to talk about the spring game and. As long as there's not a lot to talk about the spring game, we'll do the semis and the finals on the same episode. But, you know, if there's a lot of information on the spring game, then, you know, we might just do the semis. We'll play that by air here. So let's call it a night and get on out of here.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for stopping in tonight to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
OH.
IO.